This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 571, recorded Thursday, January 13th, 2022, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. I found a kazoo.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been doing some cleaning. Found some stuff that was missing amidst the debris. So once again, welcome from the state of Florida, where I remain. And you usually are, so it's not really a surprise for you.
Yes, true.
But again, don't know what's going on. The live stream has been connecting and disconnecting, despite the fact that nothing has changed. And that really annoys me. Continually.
I understand.
Well, it didn't do anything. Everything else works. No explanation. Anyway, that said, maybe it's sort of the fact that the screen on our live stream doesn't change very much because it's a picture of the show notes. Anyway, so we are back. I want to thank everyone for their feedback on the Techno Buffet question.
And by everyone, you mean exactly how many people?
Well, I'm going to read their names in alphabetical order. Michael.
Are you done?
Yes. So we did get one letter saying that again, but his opinion was, if we continue to be Android-specific focused, which again, we have been, but we have diverted a bit because not every week is there enough Android news of the type we talk about. So he is fine with the change in name. By the way, changing the name does not mean that it goes away. It still will be here. It's again, which will come first on the letterhead. So the difference between now, when the tech version is redirected to the Android version, it will reverse. If you went to the Android version, you get the tech version. So effectively speaking, nothing would
happen. Cool.
So what do you think, Jerry? Should I change the logo and the redirecting and start?
Let's do it.
Okay. So as of next week, I'm going to have to remember this. I'm going to have to start with, this is the Techno Buffet Podcast.
Does that mean I can talk about Apple?
Well, I told you, as I am not an expert on the matter, I will be, usually I bring the, because I spend the week reading interesting stories and taking notes on them. And the only requirement is, if you want to talk about it, you bring all the material, and I'll be the one reacting.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a change in our host dynamic. Usually I am the show note guy, and you're the reactor to the show note guy. And in anything Apple-related, it just has to go the way around.
Let's start that next week. Okay. I'm going to get it. I'm going to, so.
Send me anything you would like me to
react. As we say goodbye to the Android Buffet.
Not goodbye.
I'm also goodbye to Android. I am going to swap to an Apple phone this weekend.
Well, we're sorry to see you go. What will be happening to your Pixel 5?
I could either trade it in for $315, or I could hang on to it as a backup in case I really can't stand Apple.
I'd say, do you have anybody, let's say in a few months, would you like sell it after you made your thoughtful decision at that point rather than now?
If I hang on to it, I'm probably going to hang on to it, and it'll go into the same drawer as the Evo 4G.
You still have the Evo 4G?
I found it this last weekend.
Okay, I recycled a lot of that stuff. I'm just curious.
I don't know. I mean, it's more powerful than a Raspberry Pi, right?
Yeah, and you could turn it into like a camera. The problem is you can't really update the OS, so you are running a really insecure, unless you flash it with, let's say, a secondary ROM that might be able to get some security updates. That's the only reason why I don't want to hang on to a device too many versions back, because it's not getting security updates.
Well, it'll still get security updates even if it's not on the...
Well, no, the Evo 4G I'm talking about. I'm not talking about...
No, I was talking about my Pixel 5.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about the Evo 4G.
No, the Evo 4G, I don't even think it'll start up.
Yeah, so the Pixel 5 is still a maintained device. I'm just thinking of what I did with, let's say, the old Chromebooks that I had. So after they stopped being supported by Google and not getting Chrome updates, that's when I wiped it and flashed it with a standard Linux operating system. Again, there are compromises when you do that because perfectly it's not really designed for vanilla Linux and you have to do a little tweaking. But again, it means the device is now secure again and can continue being a browser-based backup device.
I wonder if I install Linux on my Pixel 5, just standard Linux, does that mean it could run my 3D printer?
Well, theoretically, there are versions of... I think Ubuntu OS has 1.5, but I haven't looked recently. It would be interesting.
I currently run my 3D printer with a Raspberry Pi, but I wonder if my Pixel could do it.
No, that may be a challenge. That'd be cool. Again, the problem with doing it involves, you know, some of the interface. If you're willing to spend some time hacking on it, not, you know, anything other than just trying to figure.
No, I just need a USB cable.
Yeah. I switched
to hook into the controller.
Yeah, I switched away from using Raspberry Pis for certain things just because SD cards would really die on me. So I use very low-powered x86-compatible chip that, again, can run for a long time. I actually got the one here back online. I cleaned all the dust off of it, reactivated it.
Cool.
I had to relocate it, but I'm back online here, so I'm now monitoring the weather again. My barometer has returned, as exciting as barometers are.
I'm excited.
Well, I love a good barometer.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's how I know it's 72.5 degrees outside and that it reached 92.7. Although that may be because the shield for the sensor, I was just get a sensor outside. I found here in the Florida sun that if you have a sensor outside, you need to prevent it from just heating up so much that it messes up the temperature. Anyway, that's a whole lot. So I do have one bit of, since we're going a little more techno, of something I've been working on.
What's that?
Well, it started, have I ever explained how I actually set up the show notes?
No.
Okay.
I think you have. I've had this vague feeling that you email somebody something and it shows up in a list.
Well, no, not email. I signed up years ago for a Pinboard account, which is a sort of, again, a bookmarking storage service. And what that actually does is it has a little app for Android. And when I'm reading stuff, which I mostly read articles on my phone, when there's one that's relevant, I save it to that. And then I go through the night before and take all the articles that I saved and into the show notes. So here's where I said years ago that little project to do. So the Android soon-to-be TechnoBuffet website runs WordPress. So I said years ago I wanted to create a little WordPress plugin that I could, instead of sending it to this third-party service and copying it, I could essentially send it directly into the site somehow, and it would assemble the show notes for me.
Right.
I never did that, and I keep saying I'm going to, but I started thinking about it again because the other day Pinboard was down for like 7 hours. And the person who runs Pinboard, Masij Siglaski, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, I've never actually heard it pronounced out loud, so I'm sure. I didn't see any comment. Because usually when a service is down for 6 hours, you expect, like, you know, the person who runs it to say something. Even if it's just my
service. Like what? Oops.
I was going to go with, even if he just says, the service was down, it's back up again. Sorry. But radio silence. So I don't know if I can rely on his attention to anything. Because he doesn't seem to want to even say, we were down, we're back again. So that worries me about the long term. I feel like, you know, I could always try emailing him directly as he has a support line and asking what's going on and why is it you didn't feel the need to say anything. But it just makes me think that maybe even if I don't build my own solution to automatically funnel things, maybe I'm better off with something self-hosted.
Right.
Because even the stuff that was in the show notes in previous years is still in the archives. So I have 44,000 bookmarks in Pinboard.
That's a lot.
And the majority of them are things that we've talked about on the show. Or a few of them are ones that I thought about talking about on the show but didn't. So I have the complete archive of every Android and technology adjacent story that I have read for the last 11 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, well, that's why I said maybe I should do something finally with it. I'm not talking about opening it up to anybody, but I don't want to delete it. And maybe there is a self-hosted thing that would work. Maybe there's a self-hosted thing that integrate into this that I could essentially do integration on. But as I said, even though I don't have a problem with Pinboard, I'm just worried about the fact that I'm willing to accept that there's nothing needs to be upgraded because he hasn't really done any feature enhancement. But I start worrying when the thing goes down for a few hours. He doesn't seem to think that that's worth the customer make a statement. If it's just, it went down. I fixed it. Sorry. It's the absentee owner thing. So if anybody has any suggestions, because I looked at one of that. There are a few of them. There's Wallabag. Are you familiar with Wallabag?
I was unaware that was even a word.
Wallabag is a, you know, does have a... there's a hosted service, but you can actually download it yourself. There's also another one, Shintu, I think. Something like that. So there are a few of them, but the idea is it's the equivalent of Pocket or those services, but you're hosting it yourself. You're an iOS person now. Instapaper. I have to use the right references, you know, for your culture. I'm not joking. That's actually a serious statement. Instapaper, I believe, most popular iOS. Anyway, jokes aside, we'll see if anybody has any suggestions. The other one I thought of was Nextcloud Bookmarks, since I already am hosting Nextcloud. So I'll play around a bit and then figure out what to do with 44,000 of them. Either way, I've made a note there's no automated backups to back it up myself at least once every week or two. So moving along, Android TV passes 110 million active devices. So this is monthly active.
I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, the thing is, Android TV has a lot of things I really like about it. And I'm going to say compared to Roo, an operating ecosystem that I'm still embedded in. So I think I mentioned that I had set up it, WireGuard, and then connected to my Myth TV, an Android TV device that I bought for $20 at Walmart.com.
Right.
So I'm using Android TV here, not Roku. Could hook up. I've set up most for my family. But again, I like the functionality. If you integrate it with your, if you have a Google Smart Display, you can tell the Smart Display to play something, it will turn on the television and play it for you. So there's a lot of potential integration and advantages. Whereas with Roku, again, they're sort of debacle and resolved, and they don't really have an app ecosystem that people can. There's so many hurdles to get it that it is harder to get to add a channel to it. So I don't know. But for now, I'm going to say I think Android TV has a chance in advance on it. Are you going to get yourself an Apple TV?
Unlikely.
Okay. Thought I'd ask.
I mean, I'm not an Android TV guy either. I'm a Roku TV guy.
Yeah. No, I'm only really
for me, Roku
like
is just an interesting, an easy way to have Plex on a device that I believe will stay updated.
Well, yeah, and I want to talk more about Plex because, as I said, I've been working on Plex also. I've been cleaning up my media library on Plex because I do have one. And admittedly, my ripping installed all of my discs several thousand miles away. So I would be interested to hear you talk about that now that we're expanding into all of the technical. I assume that's the techno. It's all technology.
I wonder if you would consider a toothpick technology.
Well, you know what Douglas Adams said on.
On toothpicks? No, I have no idea.
I believe if it was in So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, where he had the character who realized that the human race was irredeemably insane when he read the instructions on the back of a box of toothpicks and came to the conclusion that any society that needed instructions on how to use toothpicks was, again, a lost cause.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. I should reread those. But anyway, a lot of things I should read. So... either way, toothpicks are technology. How much do you have to say about them? Is there a new development? You feel like you have a new on an
old. Have you ever had cinnamon toothpicks?
I don't like them.
I think they're awesome and they're amazing.
Have you ever tried a right angle?
Yes.
I like those. They're like toothpicks. They're like toothpicks, only they can really get.
Well, this is because I don't know if you know, but I smoked for like 15 years, and then I quit smoking and started vaping.
Yeah, but the one time that I met you, you were.
So I quit smoking.
Yeah.
And I started vaping. And I recently quit vaping. So sometimes I still like something for my mouth to do. So toothpicks. Well, for Christmas, my family got me Cinnapix. You know, cinnamon, they're toothpicks, but they're like infused with like cinnamon oil and they're just so good.
So they are a assistive device for in coping with.
I don't know, maybe.
No, in coping with the.
I haven't vaped in, I want to say, like 2 months.
Yeah, but you need something.
And sometimes I'll go 3 or 4 days without using a single toothpick. Then, like today, I've gone through like 9 of them.
Yeah, but it's better than falling back on probably not quite as for your health as just being.
True.
And I know a lot of people who smoke try, other than the fact that I don't always like being around them when they're active, the smell bothers me. Other than that, I've tried to sort of stay out of it, but the fact is, people who smoke, that it's not necessary. Now, I do plenty of things that are not healthy for me. I probably eat better. So, you know, where am I to say? So we all have things we think in helping you.
You know what is technology related that I got for Christmas?
An electric tooth?
A Tonal Home Gym.
Let's see. I think I've seen a commercial.
It's like a thing. It's like a 24-inch touchscreen Android device with... arms and cables.
Well, my treadmill has an device in it. I built it. I'm not near, so I don't know if it's going to catch fire yet. But all these devices, it's interesting how many of the exercise devices are a software program that essentially has an Android underlay.
I think it's because it's a relatively easy thing to design for.
Well, remember, the basic OS is get a copy of, build an app on top of it, just lock just that app.
And it'll run on pretty much anything, right?
Mostly.
It'll run on a potato.
I don't know about it running on a potato. Also, this isn't a good time for... Haven't you heard?
Why?
There's a potato shortage.
Is there really?
Apparently.
I wonder how long till that affects vodka.
I'm not sure. Don't they make that from more things potatoes? Isn't it like there are five different... I'm not a vodka expert.
I thought most vodka was potato-based.
I'm almost positive you can make it from... But again, you know about global supply chains. That's a big story around. So all sorts of companies are actually trying to figure out how to deal with this and their environment as well every year. So apparently there's a potato shortage. I didn't read the details, but See the headline. I can live with that. I'll just eat yams. Nothing like a good yam.
You know, true story, mildly related to yams. My wife loves sweet potato fries. I can't get enough of them sweet potato fries.
I like them too.
Anyway, I wonder if we should like do technology stuff instead of talking about yams and toothpicks.
Well, we could discuss cooking technology, and I could talk about potato fries and an air fryer, but I'll save that for now. You know, we need cliffhangers. But Android is looking to add tap to transfer playback. So they've actually put out some of their tests on this. So it's not what the final what will look like, but it's something they've been working on. Where, let's say you're playing something on your phone. And by the way, you don't have to wait for this because I believe iOS has a similar where you go over to your media device. Well, actually, no, you can't because your media device won't support this. And tap it. So that means that your media playback device has to have like a little NFC tag and your phone has to have an NFC chip. You tap it and then it transfers media between.
Oh,
they're also,
that's entirely different than what I thought this was. I thought this was you tap phones with somebody and it moves a video to them.
Oh, you can already do that.
It's like tap to push or something. The contact.
Nearby, it's now called Nearby Share.
Ah.
So it is built into Android. The last time I used was to transfer between my tablet and my phone. But also with this, as part of the same thing, they're trying to improve. Remember in the last version of Android, they put improved sound selection where you have a sound picker between the various sound devices. So this is essentially a video picker where you essentially say, okay, there's a Chromecast somewhere and play it to that, to a better than the current one. Still the same technology to make it more like that audio.
Still seems neat.
Yeah. They're working on making, they're not the only ones doing it. But Google and Android are working on making interaction between all of your devices seamless. So the idea is you have an Android phone, you have an Android tablet, you have an Android smart display, you have an Android TV, that those devices will work well together. So that's the reason why I'm saying maybe I will buy into Android, not immediately, but let's say on more devices instead of Roku. So not getting rid of the room. The next time I need something, maybe I'll switch. Because again, I'll get, but I don't know. We'll see what happens if my television ever breaks. So also as part of this, they're adding QR quick settings and lock screen functionality. So they're going to add a QR quick setting tile. So you can go in there, you know, press it and then do your QR scan and also lock screen scan. Because more and more people are apparently using QR code. I was reading the article and they said that a lot of people are for menus. So you go into a place and instead of having paper menus, is now with health, more health concerns, they're trying to get, let's say, vectors that they're giving people a QR code they can scan. And look on
yeah, them. I'm not a big fan of that. Gotta admit, gotta say, I don't like it.
Neither have mine, but I haven't really been doing any sit-down eating lately. I've mostly been doing takeout. So I don't know my ultimate opinion of how that is. I know that I recently, in addition to Android and technology, I also read like consumer advocacy stories. I like them for some reason. And I remember reading one where somebody was complaining that they had the menu, you know, they had a menu, but the menu board didn't have any prices and you had to scan the QR code to actually find out what things cost. And that sort of worries me a bit.
Oh yeah.
Cause I feel like,
because does it mean that if you scan it from an Android, you'll get cheaper prices than if you scan it from an iPhone?
That's one of the concerns. I'm not sure you wouldn't know about this. It happened in New York, but you might've heard of similar store other places. They essentially cracked down on a bunch of restaurants in Chinatown. Where they had two, this more protection, they had two menus. The one in English had higher prices than the one in Chinese.
Seems reasonable to me.
Why? It's called discrimination.
No, if it's called, if it requires more work or if only higher priced employees can take your order because you only speak English, then that costs more money.
Again, they did not reveal.
There was some sign there that said, if you can read this sign, your prices are cheaper.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
If you only spoke English, you couldn't read it.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? If you can read this sign, your prices are more expensive.
No.
No, the simple truth of the matter is it, regardless of why it is, it opens the door to all sorts of are unpleasant. So I believe organizations are forthright with how they sell to the public. So if you're wondering what happened in that story, the city of New York said you have to disclose what you're doing to everybody who comes in.
Ah.
As in, if you're going to say that there is a discount for doing this, you have to tell everyone. So everybody has to have access to the same, again, which I think is better than our recently discussed conversation about them forcing restaurants not giving you a straw unless you ask for it. Which, by the way, as I said, I think is a good idea that restaurants don't give you something they may not need. That is a waste. However, I'm not 100% sure that that's where City Council of New York should end its time. Anyway, conversations about plastic straws and that aside, I think that there has to be some way to verify that a organization is not acting in an unfair way. And I've complained to places where the price that they rung up was not the price on the menu. Have you ever done that?
Yes, but it's normally an accident. And as soon as you point it out, they'll correct it.
Depends
on the place. Or at least I choose to believe that it's a mistake.
No, I'm saying it depends on the place. I've got into places where they argued and said, no, the computer is always right. I said, well, I bought the item with the understanding it would cost what the menu said. You didn't tell me the price was different before I actually bought it. The other problem being, since in a restaurant, your bill that tells you what you paid shows up after you. You can't really say, I'm going to return this. You can, but I don't think that. So it puts you in this, again, bad position. But Android, again, recognizing that QR codes are becoming more important, wants to make better QR UIs. Good for them. Reading this article, I didn't even know that the camera app, how it worked QR codes, because I always use Firefox, which has a scan a QR code button inside it. So I've never bothered to figure out how the camera app scans QR codes.
That's kind of funny. I have a make a QR code in my Firefox.
Yeah. No, I have one of those too. I haven't made a QR code. Have you? When was the last time you made a QR code?
I do it every now and then when I want to like change for, read what I'm, if I'm about to walk away and I want to move the thing I'm reading to the phone, I push the make a QR button and then double click the power button on my phone, hold it up and read the QR code.
When I want to transfer something between devices, I lately I've been using the Firefox, so I haven't needed a QR code. But they come in handy some. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh yes, the Google Play Store's system update. So when the Play Store updates and adds features to Android, they have now decided there will be a page where they will tell you what's new in their recent update. So I honestly think that that's something people want.
Yes.
Well, again,
but this. Actual change logs, not fixed a few bugs and added and.
Well, I hate those. Yeah. If all your changelog says is fixed bugs or improved, you're wasting my time. I don't need a novel, but you know it's nice if it just sort of says, well, this is going to run better. Or fixed crash in this type of system. So according to this, the January 2022 Google system update for the Play Store apparently put in a play-as-you-download feature for gamers. They say new features to help you discover the apps and games you love, which is not really a helpful thing, but there's at least that's something. Optimizations, allowing faster and more reliable download and installation. New features to the Play Pass and Points programs. Enhancements to billing. Continuous improvement to Play Protect. And various performance optimizations, bug fixes, and improvements to security, stability, and accessibility. So not exactly perfect. And on the system management side, updates to the time zone management system. Added support for new daylight savings time transition changes in various countries.
That sounds good.
Yeah, updates to system management to improve device connectivity, network usage, stability, and security and updatability. Again, that doesn't really help me. But again, it's better than nothing. So I appreciate that they made the effort. Also, the December one was the one that had the critical fix for device connectivity. So I think that was probably for that whole Android 911 dialing problem. Moving along, there was an interesting article from Android Central where they were talking about the best food tracking apps for Android.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about this because I still can't find one, even looking at their list. Because they recommended one that is a essentially a local app where you back it up to a local file that you can put somewhere else, which is fine with me. But the problem with it is that I have to enter in all my own data. So I don't. I want my account information to be under my control, but I don't want to have to enter in all my own calorie counts. So I can't find something that doesn't require me to make an account where they're going to try to sell me something. And also, I don't want a community engagement, so I don't want other people to share in what I'm eating. But we're back to still haven't found the right thing. And I should track what I'm eating, because I find when I do that, I'm much more aware of it.
Oh, yes. When you track what you eat, you tend to eat less.
Yeah, and I do it every so often as an exercise, and it does keep me on track for a while, but I'm still looking for a new way of doing it. Also, apparently Google has started showing doorbell previews for supported doorbells, which none of the ones I have are, in the at-a-glance widget.
Ooh.
Well, again, I ended up in the Ring system, which to some degree I regret, but and they do rich notifications, so I can see what's going on without having to open up the app. It's not in a widget.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Ring, but...
Well, the alternatives to Ring, there. If I were starting from scratch now, I probably would have gone with something that I had more local control over.
Yep.
But I'm already in this ecosystem, so at the moment, I'm not going to replace it. Someday, maybe. If you are the Swiss Army, at least you're in the Swiss Army, you are no longer allowed to use WhatsApp.
Really? That's interesting.
You must use Threema. So the Swiss Army claims that there are privacy concerns, so Army personnel are going to have to use...
Well, I like the reasoning. The reasoning is that WhatsApp has servers in the U.S. and therefore could possibly be forced to reveal information from those servers, whereas Threema does not.
Yeah, also Threema, and I tried it years ago, they... when you join up, they you generate a key, and they essentially don't have access to your messages. And if you lose the key, neither do you. So it's like a PGP-style thing. Moving along, Canon, the printer company, has apparently been telling its customers how to bypass the DRM warnings because they themselves cannot get the chips that do DRM on their ink.
I think this is kind of funny.
I think so. Well, the thing is, I find it sort of annoying that I have to pay extra money so that they can have a chip on there that prevents me from using competitors and stuff.
I think that's actually a fairly accurate summary.
Yeah, well, I used to, and I got rid of my inkjets a long time ago because of other problems, but I used to do Brother inkjets because they did not have a chip on them. They were just tanks. And I know Epson has its whole line of like Eco Tank where they have these gigantic tanks that last months. But the simple truth is, I don't know why my... other than possibly a sensor to know when it's empty, why it needs a chip. But the simple truth is that sensor could be built into the printer. And if the sensor dies, it could still be user replaceable. But the fact that every time you have to buy this a print head and a chip in it and this whole thing and be replaced so they can charge you more money and then claim that it's in the use of making sure that the device is secure. If I choose to use third-party ink and it messes up my printer, am I going... they can deny me warranty replacement, but it's my business. Either way, they've apparently realized that they're going to have to tell people how to bypass a genuine ink notification.
Well, sure. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the downside is now that it's out there, it's out there. So.
Well, people already sort of knew how to do it. I was just noticing, and I haven't bought an HP in years either, that they noted in this article that apparently HP's ink, a DRM, not only blocks non-DRM ink, but the ink is region locked. And they expect you to pay for a subscription to them. So that sounds like even worse. Anyway, so that's just why I switched to laser. Moving along.
You still have the same problem with laser ink. You just don't run into it as often.
No.
Not laser ink, but toner.
I'm still with Brother, and they don't do that.
Oh, HP does.
That's why I don't buy HP. I like Brother.
The HP color laser jet printers are nice.
Yeah, I only do black and white because I print so rarely. Most of the time I'm printing documents. I decided years ago that if I really needed to print a picture, I will just send it to place and have them printed for me and professionally mail it. So I don't really need to maintain things. I just need to print out a document. So black and white's fine. So in another story, Wyze, our favorite cheap security camera, has essentially their new pay-what-you-want subscription apparently will accept $0. So this gets a bit complicated. So Wyze has launched a pay-what-you-want subscription for its for Cam Plus Lite, which is the light version of their Cam Plus product, which includes cloud recordings to 12 seconds and person detection. However, apparently they're going to be getting rid of any sort of free cloud service. So you will no longer be able to get any number of seconds, don't pay them money. Or in this case, you choose to pay as little as zero a month for it. I'm not sure how long they'll let you do $0 per month. I assume that that's eventually going to go away. Now, just to be fair to them, they did do one other thing as a sort of, I'm not going to say a compromise. Wyze cams have always allowed micro SD cards to be installed for local storage.
Yes.
They've apparently acquired a license to support cards bigger than 32 gigabytes. And it's already in their V3, but they're going to be upgrading their V2, and apparently they're going to abandon the V1, which I could understand two models back. But the other thing that they're going to do is they're going to improve the app interface for local storage. So they're saying that if you're using local storage, any event has a button that will take you directly to the appropriate timestamp so you can see the full event using local storage, and they're adding 30-second rewind and skip forward buttons. So apparently they can't, and I understand why they can't let everybody indefinitely store video, because that's essentially a monthly cost to them, and that's after you've bought the device. So I think a compromise to say we're going to make sure that this device will work with local storage just as well as if you pay us to store it for you is an acceptable compromise.
As approve.
Yep. And you know my opinion of Wise. Their biggest problem is they put out a good product and then, you know, they sort of abandon the software before all the bugs are fixed. And they're on to their next product. And in a lot.
That's because nobody pays them for software.
Yeah, but they promise things that don't deliver. If the initial product had everything that they promised me, then I would... For example, I bought a Wise thermostat because they said that coming soon, remote temperature sensors. I still don't have my remote temperature sensors. In the meantime, they put out a whole bunch of things I don't need. So we'll see. Anyway, that brings me to the end of the things I've noted. But now that next week our mandate is changing slightly, include all technology that falls under our areas of interest, which I believe would include home automation, home media that we've talked about, Android, iOS, etc. We'll see what I'm able to add to the show notes next week. And I'll have to take some time and do the site rebranding. I will not be resetting the number, so next week will still be episode number 500. I don't think we should go back to zero. So any final thoughts, Jerry, before next week?
No thoughts whatsoever, other than I really should learn. I should have a bigger red light that says when I'm muted so that I can tell.
I'm sure they make those.
Yeah.
So until next week, when, as of my current plan, I will go to Florida. I've decided that I'm going to stay until...
All right, cool.
Well, I would stay slightly longer, but if I could, but I believe I'm being called for jury duty. And I think not
what?
Jury duty.
How do you know that in advance?
They called me when I was in Bulgaria and said that I had to come next week for jury duty, and I told them I'm in Bulgaria. So they give you one postponement. When the postponement came up, it was a Jewish holiday, so I told them that I would have come, asked me to. They told, in January, I told them I'd come in May, but the courts were closed in May, so they called me in September. And I told them, well, if you call me, I'm going to show up. I'm going to tell them the Jewish holiday tonight. They're going to release me, and we're going to have to start this all over again. So I'm asking, they said, well, then you have to come in February. I said, I don't want to trek through the snow to go to jury duty. I don't have an excuse for that one, so I'm doing it, unless they close the courts again. Well, what am I supposed to say? I don't want to go in the snow. I really don't want to go for other reasons, because it's a pain in the neck. It is my civic duty, so I will be doing it at the time that they designate.
Oddly, I have never in my life been called for jury duty.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe your county.
I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, really.
No, I'm just saying, I wonder why. They know you live in that county, right?
Yes, I'm registered to vote.
Okay, I wonder why.
I mean, dude, come on, you gotta know I am registered to vote.
No, I'm just saying, I'm wondering why they don't know about you. I didn't think you weren't registered to vote. I thought there might be like an irregularity somewhere, some other thing that they just, somehow you're not on the jury rolls. Must be a reason.
I don't know.
Well, you know, you, I believe...
My wife hasn't ever been called in either.
I believe you can actually call them and volunteer.
You know who had been? My dad. My dad got called in for jury duty before he died.
But he didn't live in the state of Florida.
Even weirder if he got called in after he died, but...
Yeah, but he didn't live in the state of Florida, though.
Technically, he did.
Oh, he was a resident.
Sold his house back in Texas and moved his address to here.
No, was he called... So he was called in Florida. He wasn't called in Texas.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, you can get called for jury duty after you're dead.
Sure, just like you can vote after you're dead in some counties.
Well, no, that's different. Voting after you're dead means that somebody else voted for you. Being called for jury duty means that the jury system didn't get the notice that you're not alive anymore. Two different things. One suggests malicious intent, the other does not. The other suggests bureaucratic fallop. So which one is more likely? The failure of bureaucracy or malicious? Of course, when we're talking
about... The problem is it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, I'm just saying in jury duty, who is faking something to get onto a jury? That sounds like a plot from a movie. Whereas, again, while the amount of people being fake voting is, by most reports, comparatively small, it is something that definitely exists. Anyway, that aside, it means I'll be back in New York in February, and I can do my media scanning and whatever else I'm going to do there. And I can stay here and try to figure out, using my computer, better ways to make show notes.
Yay!
We all need hobbies. Anyway, so that brings us to the end of the final, not the final episode of this podcast, but the final episode of this brand. So we'll see what I get to do. I will try to get everything, if not by the next episode, because it's just a matter of doing some rewrites. Although when you're rewriting, they did the back of it. So I'm going to thank everybody for their support of the classic brand, which looks exactly the same as the classic brand, except for one. Do not think that I will not keep talking about Android. We will not keep talking about home automation, 3D printing conversation, all the stuff we're talking about.
Because it's the stuff that interests us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and we'll talk a little about iOS. As I said, Jerry will have to take the lead because it's not Clearly, I've read articles on iOS, but it's not my area of knowledge, so Jerry will have to share with me his experience, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about the differences between Android and iOS, as Jerry experiences the one of his transition.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
I feel like everybody's the dark side. Oh, well. Not specifically iOS. I meant, like, changing sides and, like, long-standing this or that things. iOS versus Android is just one of the things in my life where I feel people are always put to the side that I'm not on. So until next week... I don't know. Is anything interesting happening between now and next week? Not that I can think of. Something interesting is happening.
No, but the week after, I will not be available.
That's the 27th?
Yes.
Okay. Well, enjoy yourself. I'll be available, but without any.
I'll be traveling to a place that's cold.
Which one this time?
Vancouver. Same place.
Okay.
But
no, I wasn't
sure. In the middle of winter this time.
I wasn't sure if it was a place you'd been before or a place you hadn't been before. So, enjoy Vancouver. I have only been to the train station before, but that was enough. So have a nice flight. Which airline are you taking?
Delta.
Okay.
I like Delta.
Well, good luck. I know most airlines have been having staffing problems because of various things, and hopefully your flight is not affected. Also, hopefully you don't end up in the same situation I did with the 4-hour delay at the airport and the 4 a.m. arrival. While that does happen sometimes, it's never fun when it happens.
That's true.
Yeah, well, I didn't blame JetBlue. I would have liked to blame JetBlue. Pretty much every flight at the airport that night was
delayed. Shall we call it a night?
Okay. Good night, Jerry.
Good night. Bye, folks. We'll see you next week. Next week with a brand new name.
But the same logo.
And the same people. And realistically, the same topics mostly.
Yeah. This is just us reflecting the changing times. The world has, it's been, what now, nearly 12 years? The world has changed. And
That's true.
We must change with it. On that note, to the future, Jerry.
To the future!